Well, it's really a joy and a privilege to be here with you. And I really mean that. It is a privilege to be with you, God's people. And we should never take that lightly. We are in this together. And we can really help one another in this endeavor. Last week, I was very inspired by a teaching that Bob Linfelt did on A New Creation in Christ. That was the title of it. And I want to revisit that just for a moment, do a little bit of a review, and kind of, you know, take it to the next level with you, okay? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And you'll remember this. And also, I noticed in the newsletter there are some, there's a great follow-up article regarding new things in Christ. So 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And if you'll remember, those of you that were here or that maybe heard the teaching on the internet, on the website, that word new is kainos, which is newly made in light of being different from the former. Okay, so this new creation, it's completely new. It's not a revised version of the old one. It's not a remodel. It's not a retread. It's not a recycle. It is brand new. Old things are passed away. All right? Well, what is new? Okay, we as people come into this world with body and soul. Okay? Did you get a new body? No, unfortunately, not yet, but we will. 1 Corinthians 15, you can check that out later. What about our soul? Do we get a new soul? Okay, let's talk about the word soul for a minute. That involves our minds, which is where our thoughts are. It involves our emotions, where our feelings come from. It involves our will, which is our ability to make decisions. Okay, that is not part of this new creation. And we're going to talk about Romans 12:2 a little bit later, because we can renew our minds. And that's a very important resource that we have. So spirit, that's the third part, right? Is that new? Yes, yes. It's new. It wasn't there before. We are our new creations. We've been given something brand new. So the question is, what can we do with it? Some of you may have heard there is a new item out on the market called the iPad. Did you hear about that? This is really cool. This is something that wasn't out there before. It was just released this last week. You can do all kinds of things with it, right? It's this little, thin little, it's a pound and a half, it's a half inch thick, it's not even as big as a piece of paper, right? You can email with it, you can look at photos, you can look at videos, you can surf the net, you can play games, you know, there's thousands of applications you can put on it, right? So say you went out and get one, somebody gives it to you, all right? So you're going to go home, right? You pull it out of the box, and then you go put on an 8-track tape, and you type something on your typewriter, right? Right? I mean, that would make no sense. We have been given something brand new. It's brand new. So we need to learn, how do we utilize this? What is it? What resource have we been given so freely? We have an opportunity, and we have a responsibility to do something with it. So let's look at Romans 6. And we're going to talk about this for a few minutes. Romans 6. What do we do? It says, "Therefore we are buried with Christ, with him, by baptism into death." Romans 6:4. "That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." We can walk in newness of life with that new creation. And that's the only reason we can do that, because we have that. okay? We can walk and we can function in the realm of the miraculous because of that new creation. We can walk with the power of God evidenced. This is real. We can walk in this world where people are in despair. They're dying of broken hearts. They are in turmoil. They're in confusion, in darkness. We can walk with power. With this new creation in us, we can walk in newness of life. People recognize that, and they are drawn to that, and they are attracted to that. We can walk with the power of God evidenced. And like it says there, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, you think about that incredible, tremendous power that raised him from the dead. Even so, we should walk in newness of life. See that? Those. You think of it in terms of that, not just, gosh, this is great, I feel so much better, I have ability, I can do this, I can... But think about that power that raised Christ from the dead. That is in us, and we can manifest that. We can walk without our former fears or insecurities or shortcomings or failures, self-condemnation, all that stuff. I'm sure everybody has their own list of what they've been delivered from. You know, things like pride and arrogance and those type of things too. That's the old nature. Those are characteristics of the old man, the thing that has passed away, right? Let's look at Romans 6:6, a couple verses down. Knowing this, that our old man is or was crucified with him. Crucified, dead. That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. That old man is dead. And when we walk in newness of life, okay, that indicates that there's something that we do. It's an action. And it doesn't involve this old, dead thing that isn't here anymore. In verse 11, it says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, so we are to reckon the old man dead. Well, okay. The old man's dead, I reckon. No, it's more than that, right? It's more than that. The old man is dead, lifeless, departed, destitute of life, inanimate, inoperative, destitute of force or power, dead, okay? Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof. So we need to stop that process that was in motion before we became born again, before we became these new creations, before we had that new life and could walk in newness of life. There is a pattern in that old life, in that old man that was in motion. And it says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that we should obey it. You see, we are not in bondage to that lifestyle anymore. And the question is, practically speaking, how do we do that? How do we change from one to the other? You got the old man dead, new man alive. Let's look in Ephesians chapter 4. I love how God has just so lovingly and kindly just laid it all out for us. It's not difficult to understand. It really isn't. It's very clear. We have the written word. We have his spirit within us. So he's constantly, you know, like you heard in the manifestations, we have access to him. You know, whisper his name, call his name. He responds. He's there for us. In Ephesians 4, verse 21, it says, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Okay? There is an action. Put off the old, put on the new. And it's like, I've heard it taught, it's like taking off clothing. But not like something that you really like your favorite outfit. It's rags. It's dirty, rotten, filthy, stinking rags, right? And you just rip them off and you throw them down and you stomp on them and you set them on fire and you throw them out, you know, right? I mean, there's nothing that you want to keep about it, right? And then you put on this new, it's like your dream outfit, you know, it fits perfectly, it's the right color, it's everything you dreamed about, it's, that's what it's like. It's putting on that new clothing, that new man. And you know what? The new man, it's not an improved version of the old man. Okay? I mean, I know there's a lot of good things about all of us, right? And we do have qualities and abilities in the body-soul category. But this new man is brand new. And I have something I wanted to read to you. I'm really happy that we're going to be doing this series on these heroes of the past, because a lot of men and women have gone before us, believers that have stood for God. I came across this, it's a sermon that was delivered on March the 29th, 1891, by a man named Charles Spurgeon. You might have heard of him. And he talks about newness of life. He says, what does it mean? It means this. When we are born again and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, which things take place at the same time, we receive a life which we never before possessed. In your quickening, you received a light which had never before shone in your bosom, a light that came not from men, neither by men. It's not a development of something which was hidden in our constitution. It's not the evolution of a principle which really exists, only it's hampered and hindered. No, it is not written, you hath he fostered who had the germs of dormant life, but you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You had no life. You had nothing out of which life could come. Fostered you might have been, but all the fostering possible would only have developed your corrupt nature and caused the evil within to grow at a greater rate. No seeds of eternal life lie buried in the dunghill of fallen nature. Eternal life is the gift of God. Okay, this life is swayed by new motives. Continuing. You live now to please God. Aforetime, you lived to please yourself or to please your neighbors. Once you lived for what you could get for yourself. You lived for the passing pleasures of a fleeting life, but now you have launched upon eternal seas. Eternity holds your treasures. Eternity excites your efforts. Eternity elevates your desires. The hope. Your life, your new life, has new objects. You aim higher. Yea, you aim at the highest of all. For you live for the glory of God and seek that your light may so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That is walking in newness of life. And this was written over 100 years ago by a believer who went before us. Isn't that just wonderful, you know? And if the Lord tarries, maybe somebody will be reading something that you wrote or that you spoke 100, 200 years from now, you know? What we are doing, oh my gosh, we need to see it in the light and from the perspective that God sees it. We have been called to a mighty, a high, an incredible calling. We are a unique people in this world. And that's why I really, truly say from my heart, it is a privilege to stand here, to be together in fellowship with one another. So, continuing on, we walk in newness of life when we manifest the spirit that is the inner life in us. But the problem is, the carnal natural mind, that kind of came along with the original package, it can't understand or discern spiritual things. There's conflict, there's enmity, it can't connect, okay? I have been reading this book called Grace, the Power to Change. Very interesting. Someone recommended it recently. And the author said, the natural mind is one that's been conditioned to reason everything out according to the world's view. It has been trained to limit itself to this realm. It is a mind that is set on and considers things from the world's view instead of God's view. Wouldn't you agree? That's how people exist in this world. And some people are very highly skilled at this. Romans 12:2. Have to go there, huh? You know, really, when you think about it, we have this incredible calling. We have this amazing gift. We have a limited amount of time. And we have an incredible calling to carry out. So, chapter 12, verse 2, Romans. And be not conformed to this world or be fashioned after this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The transformation, right? We've heard the comparison of being transformed like from a caterpillar to a butterfly. And really, really think about that. There's no resemblance between the two. I mean, it is a complete transformation. We're not just improving on the old. We have the way that God has designed us. Does it not make sense that our minds would be able to hold and understand these spiritual realities? And then with God's ability, as we seek Him and not rely on our own ability, we can reach out and carry out what He's called us to do. We can do it. But we have to decide. You know, we really have to decide. This world, which, by the way, is kind of engineered to prevent us from doing that. Who's the God of this world? Okay. This world is a hostile environment. It is an unfriendly place. It will do everything to prevent you, hinder you from doing what God has called you to do. But you know what? The power that is in us is so much greater. And we have the instruction book. Here it is. Now, before we're born again, right? But this is something Bob mentioned last week. We have baggage, right? You know what baggage is, right? You ever travel lately? Right? I did some traveling recently. And, you know, when I bring baggage along, I always bring way too much baggage. So, it becomes inconvenient to travel, but I deal with it. Do you know how expensive it is to check baggage now? I'm really going to try to travel lighter next time. But it's kind of like that in this realm that we're talking about. When you have old baggage, all these things that, the condemnation, the fear and all that stuff, we want to get rid of that. We can get rid of that. It's heavy. It's inconvenient. And there is a cost to continuing to cultivate and carry that. So we get rid of the baggage, we're renewing our minds, we're walking in newness of life. And then what happens, though? Okay, let's talk about our garages, all right? Okay, so after a while, you know, things are going well. So then you have a garage, and then you get some more baggage, and you put the baggage in the garage, okay? And then it just kind of multiplies. Do you ever notice that? You walk out into your garage. I know some people who may be hearing this teaching, maybe you have an attic or a basement. You know, it is kind of a weird thing in California how we park these very expensive cars, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50,000, whatever, in the driveway, and then we store all of our junk in the garage. You know? Why do we do that? There's no room because of the junk. Okay, so you go out into the garage and you go, where did all this come from? It kind of happens like that in our minds, right? Where, you know, you're doing great. You know, you're feeling strong. You're walking in power. You're looking to God. You're remembering to pray. You're speaking the word. And then, I don't know, something gets piled up. You get distracted. All of a sudden, you look around and there's just all this piles of all this junk. And it's, you know what I'm talking about. If any of you have ever moved, have you ever had to pack up your stuff, your valuable stuff, and move it? Okay, I do have a new strategy. Honey, you'll be proud of me. He's the king of the garage. Okay, so I find something in my house that, you know, it's not useful to me anymore. In fact, it's something I want to get rid of. So I take it. And I walk out into the garage, and instead of, like, putting it in the garage, I keep walking. I walk right out to the garbage can, or I walk to the trunk of my car, and I put it in there so I can donate it to someone. Now, the more that we renew our minds, the better we get at it, where we don't hold on to these things, you know, that are important, or, you know, I just need to still kind of deal with this part of me that I have to resolve it. Or, you know, this, I've got to just work through it. Or I have to analyze it. You know, it says in the word here, we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We put off the old man, we put on the new. Remember, we throw it off and stomp it. Throw it out the door, get rid of it. Furthermore, some of you may be familiar with that verse in 2 Corinthians 10:5. We're to lead every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. All right, so thinking about the garage and all that, think about your mind. These thoughts come in. Where do they come in? They come from a variety of places. The television, the radio, other people, people at work, people at school, books you read. You have to, all right, evaluate thoughts according to the word and either keep them and develop them or get rid of them. As I was saying, this world really is designed to captivate our minds, right? And it's very effective. If you look at the things that are, you know, that you watch on TV, we expose ourselves to a variety of different things, images, words, songs, movies. You know, if you continue to expose your mind to things that are contrary to God's word, you will eventually weaken your mind. And we don't want to do that, because that's where we put the word and evaluate it. God energizes it. We expose ourselves sometimes to really ungodly things that are packaged in a very entertaining way. Hollywood is really good at doing that. So another quote from this book, Grace, the Power to Change. He said, it is this world's input that we spend years receiving in school. Now, some of you have been to these places of higher learning where there is such ungodly information being promoted. Okay, on the evening news, from messages that deny the power of God. The influence of the temporal world in our lives goes far beyond what most people imagine. We're surrounded by it. The term world often speaks of the world system, which is completely different from God's system. Most of us have spent a lifetime learning how to successfully function within the world system. Right? We're not a part of this world. We are not of this world. We are here, but we're here with a specific purpose to carry out. Each believer must renew his mind if he is ever to function successfully in the kingdom of God. We must see things the way God says they are, not the way we decide they are. Our perception of reality must be totally consistent with God's. Otherwise, we will fall into the category of the carnally minded. You can read it in Romans 8:6. I'll read it to you. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And, you know, whose responsibility is it? Okay? It's our responsibility. We must hold ourselves accountable to believe and live the Word and not settle for our version of God's Word. Because if we allow ourselves to rationalize, that doesn't apply to me. I mean, I know what it says, but the next thing that you do is you compromise. And those are patterns of the old nature. We are walking in newness of life, right? So if I don't hold myself accountable to God's word, starting with my thoughts, right? There's nobody else in here but me, right? It's my thoughts. It's me. I can hide behind a lot of things, and I can fool a lot of people. Those thoughts are my responsibility before God. Okay, my words. What about the words that come out of my mouth? I want my words to minister grace to people who hear. I want to speak truth. Sometimes I want to say things that, you know. But I control myself by my free will, and I don't allow those words to even get out there. You know, there's all kinds of excuses. Well, you know, I come from a certain part of the country. Let's say I come from the South, you know. And everybody there gossips. They just do. And everybody just kind of talks about each other behind their back. And, I mean, that's just the way it is. So that's kind of why I do it. All right? You know, fill in your blank in whatever geographical part of the world you want to. Because the adversary will tailor his means and his methods to the circumstances and situation that may exist in a certain area, right? We don't rationalize. I'm going to read to you in a second here what it says in Ephesians 4 and 5. It's clear. If I don't discipline myself in my mind with the words that I speak out of my mouth, and the actions that I take, the way that I behave, the way I conduct myself, and the activities that I, you know, get involved in. Eventually, I will allow my mind to become weakened to the point that I am ineffective in doing what God has called me to do. I don't want to do that. I don't. I don't want to have a carnal mind. I don't want to develop that. You know, and sometimes people will choose to spend time with other people that, for some reason, won't hold each other accountable. And, you know, it is uncomfortable sometimes. But if we don't hold each other accountable or, you know, sound the alert or, hey, wait, you're getting ready to go off the cliff. You're getting ready to run into the wall. Well, you know what? Sometimes it's a lot more subtle than that. You know, where I'll say, wait a minute. What's wrong? Are you being hindered by fear in this situation? How can I help you to receive your healing? Let's go to the Word and find out. You know, how can I help you to be successful in this endeavor? What's stopping you? Let's figure it out according to God's Word. So we don't want to rationalize and compromise when it comes to one another, because we are walking in newness of life together. Because if we allow thoughts, words that people speak about each other or about situations, or if we allow each other to, you know, get involved in situations that don't build up, that don't edify, that don't glorify, magnify God, we not only end up as weak individuals, but the body of Christ becomes weakened. God has called us, yes, individually, but he's called us as a body. And you know what? If we're going to see it, we're going to see it together, the big picture. So the way I see it is we really do have this small window of opportunity. You know, the more I think about things like, the span of time throughout history, or, you know, if you look at the measurable universe and you start considering things like this that are so much bigger than we are, and yet God, in his wisdom, in his heart, called us out and enabled us, made us new creations so that we could deal with this world and put off the old. We have a window of opportunity and a calling from God Almighty. We have to remember who we are in this world. How do you want to live your life? I mean, it's a question that we can't answer for each other, but we can help each other. It takes courage to walk this newness of life because we have so much opposition in the world. And it takes courage to help each other do that. But let's just take a look. We'll close up in Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to read it to you out of this Aramaic translation. And you can read along in whatever you have there. Okay, Ephesians 4, verse 1. I therefore, a prisoner in our Lord, beg you that you should walk as is proper for the calling that you were called, with all humbleness of mind and quietness and long-suffering, and hold up one another in love, and be diligent to keep the alliance of the Spirit with the girdle of peace, so that you will be in one body and by one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. And we can, with one purpose and one mind and with one mouth, glorify God. And how sweet it is when we do that together, isn't it? How do we walk like that? How do we walk worthy of that calling? I mean, do you really want to know?
Yes.
I do too. Ephesians 4. You could go to Colossians 3. You could go to a lot of different places that you're familiar with. Ephesians 4. We'll just read through a few of these and then we'll close it up and think about it and walk out and do it. Verse 21, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation or way of life, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. This is very practical, what we're about to read. Wherefore, put away lying. Okay, stop lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Why would I lie to you? Be ye angry and sin not. We are not angered to the point of sinning. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't go to bed angry. Neither give place to the devil, the accuser. Don't give place to that in your life, and don't give place to it in other people's lives. If you see it happening, get involved. Let him that stole steal no more. Don't steal. Rather let him labor, working with his hands a thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Wow, that is a tough one. It is, but we can do it. What about the benefit of, you know, not speaking words that tear down or hurt in any way? I mean, if words come out of our mouth that we think, oh my gosh, I would never say this to someone's face, ooh, you should probably not be saying it. Unless you were going to say something to someone that would help them to get back on the word. Hey, I see this in your life. Let's take a look at God's word and see how you can change. Okay, that it may minister grace to the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Well, let's manifest that spirit. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And that's the standard. It's not how we feel. It's not what we think. It's how Christ, God, through Christ, has forgiven us. That's the standard. And then in chapter 5, let's look at verse 7. We are not partakers with this. You can read it sometime, these previous activities and people. Verse 8, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. I just wanted to take a quick look at this in this Aramaic translation and read it to you. Oh, okay. Chapter 5. For the effects of the light are in all goodness and justification and truthfulness, and determine what is pleasing before our Lord. How do we do that? How do we determine what is pleasing? We have to understand what the will of God is, and we know how to do that. In verse 12, it's a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Okay. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. Whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Okay, so you're in a situation, right? There's something that needs to be corrected. There's something, maybe sometimes you can't even put your finger on it. You know what? If you shine the light on it, it will become clear. If you introduce the word into a situation, any situation, first of all, in your mind, if you have an opportunity, speak it. And then it will be very clear what's going on. Verse 14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. See, manifest the Spirit. Manifest it. Be filled to overflowing. What a joy, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, hearing from God, revelation, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirit, so that you can know what's going on in this dark world. Faith, miracles, healing. That's our lives. That's what we're called to. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Give thanks always for everyone in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father, and be subject to one another in the love of Christ. So, we have a choice to make. It's not hard, is it? You know, we might need to do some adjustments or some fine-tuning, but for the most part, I would say the people in this room, we do rejoice in the Lord always. We do endeavor to walk in newness of life. We know who we are. We know how to renew our minds. And we do have the courage to help each other to also walk in newness of life. And as we do that, people are going to see us. They're going to see the light. They're going to be attracted to the light. They're going to want the light. And then, here goes. Oh, I can offer you something brand new, right? All right. Father, thank you so much for calling us out of darkness, for giving us new life, and that we, with this amazing opportunity that you have given us, I mean, we just certainly don't really even understand why, except that we know you are love. And we are so grateful, and we're humbled to have that love abiding in our hearts and in our lives, and that we can turn to one another, and in love, we can provide what we need for each other according to what you have given us. So thank you, God, for wisdom, for understanding, that our eyes spiritually can be enlightened, and that we just have the love and the courage to live this life right now, right here, and not waste another minute. Thank you so much. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.